That's why I like this movie, because although it's supposed to be more like Goonies, I still get like horror Goonies vibes. It's probably because Corey Feldman might cut out.
You might cut out as you were saying horror, and you just said horror Goonie vibes. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
A buff saxophone player.
So, if this saxophone player in this movie had Kenny G's face, would you have just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, of course. I was watching. I'm like, why is this guy so ripped?
I watched this with a couple people, and that was the big takeaway from this movie. They're like, why was there a buff, shirtless saxophone player, and why was that the best part?
He was a vampire.
They're all vampires. That's the one problem with Santa Clara. All the damn vampires.
That's the one problem with Santa Claus. Wait, I thought that's where you were going with it. But indeed, we are the Brothers Movie Factory. If you're not familiar with what it is, and two, Gus is here, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, not a buff saxophone player. Quite far from the truth, he's actually a
buff ocarina player.
Yeah. indeed, we are the Brothers Movie Factory, and what we do here every week, we take a film, we watch said film, we then take to the pod to discuss that film, what we liked, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't, and then we submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today, who would direct it, who would star, who would compose, etc. Same film, just different booking, modern booking. So we find ourselves once more in October, spooky month. It's so spooky. I don't want to say it. We find ourselves in spooky month.
Say it three times. It'll be spooky.
Yeah, it'll be just the worst. But we find ourselves in the October spooky month once more, where we like to watch horror movies or what we might consider just spooky movies, like Tremors. And
that's spooky.
What other movies did we watch? Wolfman Meets Frankenstein, Invisible Man. We've watched that wasn't for spooky month, but
they're still spooky.
Dracula. That was from the first year we did it. So we find ourselves on our third October spooky month, and we watched a good one, a cult classic this week, and. This is a movie that I was watching it, and I never knew Joel Schumacher was the director. And watching it again, I could just tell he was a music video director. Indeed, we watched The Lost Boys, cult classic, 80s film. And for this week's factory, we are going to change it up a little bit, and we'll get there when we get there, but just want to preface this. But Lost Boys, what year did this come out in?
87.
Yes. And old Corey Feldman and Corey Haim.
This is where it began. The two Coreys got their start together. They became very good friends through the making of this movie, and they had such good chemistry. And this movie was so popular that they went on to star in several 80s teenage movies together.
80s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Wait.
Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Coreys. And
that's what they are now.
Well, only half. Corey Haim passed away, I think, in 2010 or 2008.
I saw it because I looked in. I was like, I wonder what Corey Haim's doing. I saw him.
You're like, not much.
Yeah. I was like, that's, sorry, 2010. March 10th, 2010, 38.
Mm-hmm. But they were in like License to Drive together. I've seen that one. And oh shit. They're in a bunch. He's in Dickie Roberts. How about that?
He was in, oh shit. Can't wait to watch Dickie Roberts someday. Just cause.
just because it's also pretty spooky.
It is.
Lost Boys, though, yeah, as you mentioned, is a cult classic. And we'll get into the nitty-gritty as to why. But this movie didn't start out as what we got. Originally, it was going to be a Richard Donner production.
Richard Donner is known for what?
Goonies and Superman.
Yes. And so he directs or produces a vampire film. It's the only obvious mix.
Well, he was going to direct it, but then he got into doing Lethal Weapon. And or was Lethal Weapon 2? Ah. Either way. Yeah, either way, he did not stay on board with this movie. And originally, it was supposed to be more Goonies-esque. It was supposed to be younger, even younger kids than what we got. Like, even the vampires were supposed to be, like, fifth, sixth graders kind of deal. And, I mean, the main inspiration for the movie, hence the title, was what if it was, like, Peter Pan, but, like, in today's world, and what if Peter Pan was a vampire? You know, a young person who can fly, and he visits people at night, and, you know, he never grows old. So that was, like, the main inspiration. And a lot of the characters were going to have names similar to the Peter Pan stories, like David, who is the, not the head vampire, but, like, the main bad, I guess, of this movie.
Oh, Kiefer.
Kiefer Sutherland, he played David. Originally, he was supposed to be named Peter, and it was supposed to be Michael and John, as opposed to Michael and Sam. The Michael name stuck.
Sam.
Boy, howdy, did that Michael name stick. How many times do you think they said Michael?
Michael? In this movie?
Mike.
Less than they say in Halloween. That's a lie. I don't think they say it very much in Halloween.
Yeah,
it's the first line of the movie, pretty much, though, in Halloween.
They say Michael, like, over 100 times. I believe the count's, like, 118, but it's still rising. They keep hearing extra mics here and there.
Should stop being such an asshole.
Yeah. And,
take that earring out.
Yeah, it's not you, Mike.
Like, where did that... Didn't this happen all last night?
Yeah, it's so funny. He's like, Mike, what's with the earring? It's not you, Mike. But he has an earring.
Yeah.
Sammy Pooh.
He's allowed. It's him.
Yeah,
saying, don't get in on my thing.
I did not like Sam's style choices in this movie. His outfits were...
You want factory style?
Yeah, we need to do a movie factory on his wardrobe choices and his poster choices.
How old was he supposed to be?
I don't know.
But I feel like they wanted him to be younger than he actually was.
A little bit. I got that vibe, too. I want to say he is supposed to be like 12, 13, probably close to the 13 side. And Michael was supposed to be like 17, even though he looks like he was like 30.
Yeah. Thought that, too. I'm like, this guy is not a teenager.
What if he's like, I can't drive yet. I don't have my license.
I'd be like,
bullshit.
I don't believe you. We've been like casting Josh Brolin now to play the brother in Goonies.
Play like Brent. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? Brand. Sorry, not Brent. Fuck me, stupid.
You like Goonies?
Yeah, Goonies is one of my favorites.
Apparently not.
Yeah, that's why I like this movie, because although it's supposed to be more like Goonies, I still get like horror Goonies vibes. It's probably because Corey Feldman's there.
Your mic cut out as you were saying horror, and you just said horror, horror Goonie vibes. You're like, I like horror Goonie vibes.
horror Goonie vibes, but horror Goonie vibes made for another day.
Yeah.
Owen, that's a different movie too. So, yeah, I mean, that was what they originally intended was for it to be like Goonies, but whatever. Anywho, where was I going with that? That threw me off.
You're talking about how you get like Goonies vibes. You like Goonies and that's why you like this movie.
Yeah. But more spooky. And, I mean, that's, I remember what I was going to say. I was, because we were talking about Sam and his just wardrobe choices and his poster choices. I was so curious as to why he had like a half shirtless Rob Lowe poster.
I saw that. I was like, that threw me off too, because he had a, what's her name from Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
Big poster,
Molly Ringwald.
Her. Yeah.
Molly Ringwald.
And then, yeah, he had like Rob Lowe pulling his shirt off. And I was like, I'm confused.
It's a movie about sexual awakening. But I did a little bit of research, a little bit of digging, and I found out it's because Joel Schumacher had previously directed St. Elmo's Fire, which had Rob Lowe in it.
Gotcha.
So it was kind of a nod to that. Mm-hmm. And but, I mean, several of the cast and the director himself have come out and saying, like, half of the allure of this film was like, it was like, I don't know, it was relatable for people who felt like they were outcasts. So maybe it was people who were struggling with sexuality or their style or their place in the world or whatever. If you felt like you were an outcast, they kind of sought like some, or not sought, but they found some like identity in Lost Boys and like this cult classic 80s horror movie, because there's a bunch of, I don't want to say freaks, but you know what I mean? That like the vampires and just even like the punk style of half of the residents of Santa Carla. And yeah, that was like a big draw for this movie and why it's not only was popular back in the day, but has withstood the test of time, is how relatable it is, but also how fun it is and just how different it is for its time. And even today, there's been nothing really that has at least accomplished what this movie did as well. But another fun factoid, I keep saying Santa Carla. Is it Santa Carla or is it Santa Clara? Santa Carla. There is a Santa Clara. I was talking to my girlfriend about said film. She watched it with, I almost said with I, but you know. And this movie was filmed in Santa Cruz. And she grew up very close to there and went there a lot. And obviously it has a very iconic roller coaster, recognizable roller coaster. And that's what she saw. She saw that and she's like, that looks like Santa Cruz. And turns out she was.
Wouldn't you know?
Yeah. And just Santa Cruz in general, they were a little hesitant about having Lost Boys be filmed in their city, in their town. Because back in the 70s, it actually was known as the murder capital of the world. Nice. Because of how many serial killers were from there or did their business there. And it wasn't until like some of the like city officials read the script to Lost Boys that they decided it would be okay. Because they thought it was a very good script. And since like that town is almost become famous because of Lost Boys. Every year they host, well, maybe not this year, but every year they host like a Lost Boys festival kind of thing where people bring out the chairs and watch Lost Boys on the beach and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Spooky. They get a buff saxophone player to come out and jam.
I hope.
I hope too. It's me. So
Ocarinas. Touching base on what you said about like the outcast, it's meant for like the outcast and people that aren't comfortable and things of that nature. I like the setup of this movie. Like the first 5 minutes or so, just the beginning of it. Outside of we get the beginning of with the police officer being killed, the security guard being killed, and we kind of get the introduction to the vampires and stuff, which actually. I'll touch base on this. I'll finish this and I'll touch base on something else. But I like that start where it's. I think it's playing People Are Strange. I think
people are
yeah,
strange.
As yeah. They're pulling into town, and it's showing like people that you yes. maybe consider to be outcasts, like the
or strange,
yeah, like the goth, goth people, and.
Homeless people.
Yeah, it's like just those stereotypes kind of deal that you see even like two kids digging through a dumpster. So you kind of get the feeling that like that's what this is about, is people that are lost. And even the boys, they're the two boys, Michael and Sam, they're moving to a entirely new place. So even they are theoretically lost in this place. Like they're trying to find their way. But also
and their mother too.
Yeah. Is that, this movie does, I made a joke to myself at the beginning of the movie that it was like Jaws, but with vampires. But it does do a lot of that kind of stuff, like especially because you don't see them, and then there's the reveal. Like, you don't see how they actually look as vampires or what they're right. doing. It's always point-of-view shots.
And instead of da-da, da-da, you get like a kind of sound.
And, I mean, it is. I like that, especially it is effective. And then after you see it, kind of like in Jaws, and you know what's there, but it's still gone. It is nerve-wracking, because I will get there eventually, but at the end, when they're trying to untie the dog, and they're, like, coming, it's the point-of-view shot, and you don't see them. That's effective.
It's so good stuff.
I liked.
You know what else I like? Are the Frog Brothers in this movie.
When you say it, you gotta talk like this.
I don't want to sound like Donatello.
Then sound like Raphael.
Okay. Damn! Yeah, the Frog Brothers, played by Corey Haim and other guy.
Not Corey Haim. Corey Feldman.
Fuck me sideways. Yeah.
That's not the other guy's name either.
Yeah. And
Jameson and Newlander. Newlander.
Close enough. Close enough. Yeah, they play these like teenage vampire hunters. And I just always liked that idea. And that idea that I always liked followed me into my late teens when I discovered Supernatural. And I always wanted Sam and Dean of Supernatural to team up with the Frog Brothers to hunt some vampires. But yeah, the Joel Schumacher instructed Corey Feldman to watch Chuck Norris films and Rambo to get the idea of his character. He wanted him to act more like serious macho kind of deal. I don't know if he accomplished that, but he definitely does something unique. There's something going on there with Edgar Frog. But yeah, I really like that aspect of the movie and how they kind of see this newcomer in Sam, who is poorly dressed and goes into a comic book store that the brothers are running. And they choose to like kind of take him under their wing, but also protect him in a way. It's like, here, read this. It'll save your life. Gives him like a vampire comic. And yeah, that's kind of how we got the seeds planted. Kids in a new town. There are these rebellious vampires who lurk and terrorize the Santa Carla area. And yeah, what to do next? Oh, I know. How about a love story? Sprinkle a little lust in there. So we got the character of Star, who's also the chick from Twister, who's like, we got cows. She and Michael kind of lock eyes, and Michael wants to prove that, you know, he can hang with the kind of crew that Star hangs around with, which is our lost boys, our vampires. And he kind of joins along in the ride of the night and turns out sour for him.
Turns out that he's eaten maggots and worms and blood, which
they're noodles. Yeah. It's rice.
You know, I was not to be that guy, but when he, like, after he's like, they're just noodles, and he eats them, and then it gives a point of view shot of the noodles. I'm like, that's not lo mein. That's like spaghetti with some brown stuff on it. Look at it again. Go back and watch it. If you take anything away from this episode, go find that scene, because it's not lo mein.
That's spaghetti with brown stuff.
It's lies. But, yeah, no, that was a cool scene, because you don't know that they're vampires. You know that they're weird and badasses, and you assume that they're, you know.
I suppose.
You haven't seen them do anything to that point.
Not really. I mean, there's a security guard at the beginning who, like, gives them a hard time, and then suddenly, from point of view shot,
he could have been the guy they fought with.
We don't know.
Until later.
They grab him
and they rip the roof off of it. Tear the roof off the place. You don't really know, but I thought that was kind of effective because it's like a change in vampire lore to a degree. Like, they didn't, like, bite them to turn them. They just tricked them to a degree. They said, oh, it's maggots. And he sees that. He, like, hallucinates. And they're like, oh, no, it's worms. And they hallucinates. And then they say it's blood. And he doesn't believe them anymore. And he just drinks it. So it was kind of interesting. That was cool. And like I said, that moment and a couple other moments in this movie, you could tell that Joel Schumacher was a music video director, because that starts like playing music and it's doing a lot of like the fade outs where like you can still see the other character like there, but it's like see through. And there's even a reference where Corey Haim's character, Sam, says something like, there's no TV. And you know what that means? No MTV. I'm like, grow up.
Dear God. But, you know.
Oh, dear God, no.
Even as it is a music video, as you say, what a song to do a music video to with that cry little sister slap.
The theme. Yeah, I was going to say the theme to this movie is good. It's effective. Yeah. It's a cool theme.
It is very, it's very cool. It's very like haunting too, but it's also like, I don't know, kind of sounds like Phil Collins or something, but with a prayer in the background.
What if it went, God save our queen? And Wade Barrett came out and just punched the camera.
There's your obscure wrestling, pro wrestling.
Haven't had one of those in a while. Comment. Well, obviously then Michael turns into an old vampy, that leads to some of the most, I think, effective parts of the movie is like when Sam kind of figures out that Michael is a vampire, and the scene especially where Sam's taking a bath and Michael's like slowly coming up the stairs and you like know, and you don't, I guess you don't. You definitely don't think he's going to kill his brother, but you like...
No, you don't know.
Yeah, it builds to the suspense of the movie.
He's vamping out. You don't know what's going to happen.
And the old doggo attacks him, but...
Let me help you out here with a reference. What, do you remember the dog's name?
It was something Scandinavian for the good land.
Nanook.
Nanook.
What is the dog's name in Peter Pan?
Nana.
Nana, Nanook. See the connection?
No, they're different names.
Poor Nana.
They're different names. If his name was Nana, it'd be something. If his name was Wendy, it'd be something. But it's not.
Even that, I just said the term vamp out. This movie like coined that term, vamp out, which was later used in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which... Joss Whedon has credited this film, Lost Boys, for inspiration.
It's funny that, like, when I think Joel Schumacher, I do not think this movie. I always think the Batman films, as I'm sure many people do.
I'm pretty sure we mentioned that, like, upon his passing, which was earlier this year, one of our episodes, we said, oh, it was probably Batman Forever.
Yeah, I think so.
He's made good movies, but I think he'll be remembered for, like, the two bad movies he did.
That's usually how it goes in general, though, with most things. But I Michael basically finds out or thinks, has an inkling of that something has gone wrong. And then the Frog Brothers get involved and they start doing their planning with Sam. And then Michael goes back to the cave, confronts Star, and that's where we get our second music video.
Same song, but it's welcomed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because after that's when they basically reveal themselves to Michael later on. They show him, but they wanted Star to kill Michael that night. They had sex, but they wanted Star to kill Michael.
They had intended for her to kill Michael,
Even though they had already turned him into a vampire?
He's only half.
So is she.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good call.
Why didn't they just let her kill him the first night?
Yeah. They got to make up their mind.
Yeah, instead of fucking with people. Join us. But on second thought, unless you want to eat them. I mean, you cool with it? No? Are you sure? You want to eat? No? Okay, you're good. All right. Yeah, you're in.
Build them up and then put them down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of David's M.O. He's kind of fucked up. Yeah.
What if David was played by Jeff Goldblum as a vampire? So he'd be like, join us. Yes. You want some Chinese food? How can 1 billion Chinese people be wrong?
I could see him playing Max. I like garlic, just not this much garlic.
Yeah. Invite a vampire into the house, and all of a sudden, you're powerless. You're powerless.
Yeah, that'd be good. You know what else I was kind of thrown off by? Once again, it's a wardrobe thing, but Max, who owns the video store, who kind of gets a romantic relationship going on with Michael and Sam's mother, all his clothes, his shoulders are huge. He had like puffy shoulders and everything. Thing. Maybe it was. I don't know if it was maybe to make him look more intimidating. I'm not too sure, but he had like big shoulder pads. And
wasn't the goal to make outfits. Him not look intimidating?
I know. He's a giant. He's like 6'5", too.
I mean, Kiefer Sutherland, that's an intimidating man. Just in general. Right. Everything he's in, he's scary, even when he's a good guy.
Yeah, and like 24. But what about in Stand By Me? He's even scarier than the
same character.
Yeah.
This is actually a prequel to that.
Yeah,
he didn't die. Right, he became a vampire later on, events after Stand By Me.
And Edgar Frog was also in Stand By Me. That was a prequel too.
Yeah, he's a hidden vampire. Ignore Lost Boys, The Tribe, and Lost Boys, The Thirst. Ignore those two films. They didn't have.
I do anyway.
I remember seeing Lost Boys, The Tribe's trailer. It is along with the movie I Am Legend, DVD of I Am Legend. I watched it at a friend's house, and I couldn't sleep that night because I Am Legend. Spooky. Actually, yeah, kind of the him killing the dog fucked with me.
I thought they were gonna kill Nanook in this movie too.
I couldn't remember if Nanook died when it attacked Michael. Like Michael accidentally killed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I couldn't remember. Because I was like waiting for him to turn on the light and the dog to be dead. Speaking of dogs. Like, what'd you say?
Speak of the devil and she shall appear. But, yeah, I... that dog. He. Yeah, I don't know what was supposed to happen ultimately with the turning of Michael or the turning of Star or what have you. But ultimately they know they gotta get rid of these vampires. So they find out if you kill the head vampire, then everyone who's ever turned will go back to normal. Or if you're a half vampire, you can go back to normal.
They just think that they don't know for sure.
Well, it's worth a try. So they and they're off and they're trying to discover who the head vampire is. They do that little bit with Max, as I mentioned, on a date. They're like, it could be him. And they do all the tests, from garlic to holy water to all kinds of stuff, and nothing works. So it must not be him. So they're like, they find out where the nest is, which was a cool setting, like a collapsed hotel and like the ground from an earthquake. Really cool setting. And the whole crew, they go to kill some vamps. They don't know who the head vampire could be, so they just kill Bill from Bill and Ted. It's juicy, I'll tell you that.
Did you notice after they do that? Because it is. It's a good old death sequence.
Stake through the heart.
But when they go outside, they're covered in glitter.
Yes.
I was like, even these vampires sparkle.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, like, everyone gives Twilight shit for sparkling vampires. They did that back in the 80s.
These things had sparkling blood.
Yeah, what's more strange?
It's like goo blood. Probably the sparkling skin.
I'm hideous.
Like, you look like a diamond. You literally look like I bejeweled your skin. You're fine.
Imagine that pumping through your veins.
No one's ever going to love me.
They chose to do that so in like the daylight shots it would shimmer to make it different looking blood, which I mean, yeah, it was like slimier, colorful blood.
It was like gack.
Yeah.
Like glue and glitter.
It did look like that stuff. So, but this leads to the best part of the movie. Better than the buff sax player, better than the goofy grandpa who has the funny horn.
It's my house, and I have to protect it.
Yes. The Home Alone, before Home Alone scene of booby trap in the house for vampires. Love this part. They set up the bathtub with all the holy water and the garlic. They fill up squirt guns with holy water, all kinds of other stuff. And what I think is also the most entertaining part is what follows when the vampires take siege to the house, and one by one they're killed off in unique ways.
They all go out like bitches.
Whether it's death by holy water and garlic or death by stereo.
Yeah, that one I couldn't understand because he shoots him with the arrow, misses the first one. The guy gets up and just proceeds to walk toward him. He just lets him shoot him again. He's like laughing. He's like, ha ha. Like,
they think they're invincible. Perhaps.
I guess. Yeah.
But he does real good.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but then the little boy too, the little boy vamp, he's not
half. Lottie, or something?
He wasn't half, because he would have been a fool. Or,
no?
I thought they said, like, you didn't turn full until, I guess Michael turns, like, to the full-blown vampire at the end there.
Mm-hmm. But you're not, you're only half, so he's,
half.
Why are we questioning the logic of any of this?
Because vampires need specific logic. Why couldn't Michael just go out and eat a deer, like in Twilight? We don't know.
That's right. They're like vegetarian vampires.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to turn.
I learned from Twilight, you can't turn a kid. You turn a kid, or I guess it's a baby, but the Valtori, they're going to come get you.
They'll grab you.
Yeah, they'll grab you. Have a whole war.
This movie, I think, would benefit from like a low budget sequel, not like
it's called The Tribe.
Not like that. Not like The Thirst.
It was very low budget, by the way. I looked up its budget: $5 million.
Those sequels or this film?
The budget of The Tribe, which is the actual sequel, came out in 2008. Yeah. Its budget was $5 million. It made that production cost back in 3 weeks. It sold over 1 million copies.
It sold very well on DVD. That's why they immediately went into making a sequel to that, The Thirst, and that did very poorly.
No, that one's considered better, The Thirst, than The Tribe.
Ew.
Yes,
ew.
Yeah.
Look at the rating. It has like a zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
They both have zeros.
Okay.
The Tribe and The Thirst both have zeros. However, The Thirst has a 35 audience score, where the Tribe has a 25%.
So the truth is revealed.
The Thirst has both the Frog Brothers in it too, and they're like hunting. So I think people just like that a little better, probably.
Maybe. And I know one of the Frog Brothers, not Corey Feldman, he is like a vampire too in that movie for some reason. But however, I think it could benefit from a sequel, as in a la the Halloween new sequels, where they ignore the continuity and just kind of pick up where the first one left off.
It'd be fun in the modern era.
Yeah, and just have it with the Frog Brothers again. Maybe bring back Michael or something. Back in the day, there were talks of a sequel right out the gate from this movie. It wasn't made very clear on purpose if David died, because he didn't disappear or explode or anything like that, like the other vampires did. But, you know, no two vampires go out the same way. But they chose to do that in a way just in case they decide to make a sequel and have David return as the villain. But there was an idea to do a sequel called Lost Girls. Similar concept, but with female, like group of vampires. It just never got legs. Joel Schumacher tried for a long time to make that sequel happen, but after like almost 10 years, he just kind of gave up on it and never came to fruition. But yeah, they have.
How I do? This is another logic question. So they kill all the different vampires. David gets killed pretty good, landing on top of like antelope horns.
Death by antelope.
Yeah. But
a gazelle. That's a gazelle.
So David, he gets killed, obviously, by the grandpa driving his truck with fence posts through the wall. Yeah. And it sends the fence posts into David and he gets impaled.
Max.
Who's David? Oh, David was,
David's Kirsten.
Yes.
And Max, it turns out Max is actually the head vampire, the video store clerk or owner.
So Max is killed that way, theoretically. And the grandpa, that's the final line, which I actually really like the final line, which is like, that's the one thing I have. The one issue I have with Santa Carla, all the damn vampires or whatever. Like, that's a good final line. But how did he know? Like,
he could smell them.
He literally drove backward in reverse into the house with fence, but he could have killed multiple people.
He knows what he's doing. It kind of alludes to maybe he's been doing that for a long time.
Like hunting maybe. And killing vampires?
Yeah, maybe. He is a hunter, after all. He has all that taxidermy. Who knows? He's like, this room's off limits. Maybe he had some vampires taxidermied in there. Who knows?
Dad?
He's actually, his last name's actually Winchester.
Winchesters didn't get into the hunting business until he met old Mary.
Yeah, maybe it's his last name's actually Samsonite. Maybe that's it.
Speaking of that, I just saw that wrapped filming.
Supernatural.
Yeah, which I'm so far behind, but we'll
get there. Yeah, it wrapped filming actually a while ago.
Nice.
Yeah, it's I think it's coming back on TV here pretty soon, and it'll carry on till next year, and then I will cry when it's over.
Well, there you go. But this movie, it's not really scary. It's got, like, I said that to you earlier, I didn't really think it's a scary movie, and you said it's got some scary imagery, and it definitely does. It's got some real good scary imagery. It's not like it's an entertaining Halloween movie. Sit down, enjoy it. It's like the equivalent of like a popcorn flick with
a little more class.
Yeah, with a spooky feel. And it's a cult classic for a reason. But I'd almost venture to say it's just a classic now.
Yeah, I think it's a great movie. I don't watch it as often as I should. Maybe like every couple years I'll pop it on. It felt right to watch it this spooky season. Something, it was calling me. It was like, Michael, and I came and I watched it too.
how about
that is the Brothers Movie Factory's take on Lost Boys.
Indeed. So at this point in time, in the show, you want to put this movie to the factory, but you brought up a point beforehand. So normally what we do at this point of shows, that's where we take the film we just watched and we imagine what it would look like if it was made today. So who would direct it, who would compose it, who would star, same movie, just different cast and crew for the modern booking. However, there are a lot of younger portrayed actors in this film. And actresses and everything, and we are not good at that. So we thought we'd have a little fun with this one, do something different, where we would recast some of the vampires with other famous vampires. And then maybe, if you're up to it, recast the Frog Brothers as any other monster hunters slash killers slash people that finish off a monster or vampire in a movie that okay. isn't named Sam and Dean Winchester.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So let's do, for the sake of this, so we're going to do Frog Brothers as any other, any pairing of two people that handle vampires in movies or handle whatever, what have you. And then we'll do the Max, the main, David, the other main, and Michael. Those three vampires will recast as another famous vampire. So who do you have?
Sounds doable.
Who do you have to replace Michael as your famous vampire for the brother, the protagonist vampire?
Well, that's obvious to me. Right out the gate, he's half vampire. He's like on the good side of being a vampire. I'm choosing. Oh, never mind. I was gonna be like, I was gonna say.
You're like, I'm choosing Michael.
Yeah. I'm choosing Michael from. I'm choosing David from Lost Boys. I was gonna. I'm choosing Edward Cullen, right? Robert Pattinson.
He's not
Edward
half. Cullen. He's just a vampire. He's,
I know.
He's,
well, to a lot of society, they're like, that's not a real vampire. I was gonna say the little vampire from the movie The Little Vampire. Remember that movie?
Yeah, Jonathan Lipnicki.
Yeah, he's my Michael.
My God.
Yeah, this movie wouldn't work anymore. But yeah, Edward Cullen seems like a fair fit for Michael. Maybe a little less badass.
Less badass, like Edward Cullen less badass, or Edward Cullen is badass?
He is kind of badass. I guess Michael is less badass than Edward Cullen, I would say. I could see Sam going up to like Edward, Michael, and being like, get rid of the sparkles, Mike. It's not you.
Get out of the sun.
Yeah, it's not you.
So I was trying to think, can you think of any other like vampires that are... I was trying to... Is there not a character in fiction... or nonfiction, rather, that is a vampire, but they're also a vampire hunter. Blade. Yeah, Blade. You gotta go with Blade, right? He's a half. He's a daywalker.
I like that you said fiction. No, nonfiction.
Yeah, he's real. He's real. Yeah. Somewhere Blade. Out there, Wesley Snipes. He's not in trouble. He's just hunting vampires.
How about knife?
We don't talk about knife. But no, I had to go with Blade. Badass half vampire, half human, there to kill the big bads.
Okay.
With a knife. So flip it.
Oh yeah. How about? I didn't even think of that. We'll flip the coin, decide.
Or Michael. Heads mine, tails yours.
It is tails.
As Blade as Michael, there he is. What about David?
Wait a minute. I thought I was tails.
Oh yeah, you are. Fuck this.
You're like, all right, you win. Therefore, I win.
I'm seeing if you noticed. So Edward Cullen then as Michael. Anyways, makes sense. David. He got his David.
David. Ah, shit. I feel like I want at least a decent vampire for David. Who's? How about David?
How about David as David?
Let's see. I'm like going through like a list of vampire movies. How about Vampire Dog? Let's see here. Who would be good? Who would be a good fit? It's David. How about Pearl from Blade?
Was he? Yeah, he was a vampire.
Holy shit! I just made myself laugh.
Because of Pearl?
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, the big fat person.
Oh, fuck me. I don't know. Who do you got? I'm still thinking.
So for David, I wanted to go with a vampire that... I think Max is going to be the pretty obvious vampire, right? Out of all the ones we would have. So I wanted a vampire... in cinema that was going to do David some justice. So I was struggling between that, because I think if you had to choose, like Max, I'm assuming we're probably going to go with Dracula.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
All right. Well, anyways, I decided to go with the most iconic vampire there is.
Count Cruise.
Count Chocula.
God.
Yes? No, I actually ultimately did, for this one, go with Bela Lugosi's Dracula. For David, because I have my Max. So yeah, Dracula for my Max.
Wait, Max or David?
Or David. Dracula for my dad. You fucked me up. David is Dracula. D to D.
Okay.
I have my Max, though.
All right. I got to make a decision here. I'm trying to think. There's just so many vampires, and there's probably one that I'm just, like, not, you know, thinking of, and I'll, like, kick myself in the balls later. Nah, I can't do that. I'm, like, scrolling through. Did you know there's, like, a spoof comedy of Breaking Dawn, but it's called Breaking Wind? How about
Yes, that? I did. There's also another spoof of the Twilight franchise. It's called Vampires Suck.
Nice. I've seen that, too. Or I've seen that around. How about... He's definitely not as cool, but what about Nosferatu? Nosferatu.
So, riddle me this, because Nosferatu.
How about the little vampire?
Nosferatu. They have the same hair. Nosferatu is Count Orlok. That is.
Yes, right.
So, how about we do this? Because who is your Max?
Okay, my Max is actually Dracula, but Leslie Nielsen's Dracula.
Okay.
All from right. Dracula, so, Dead and Loving It.
So Dracula. So my Max was Nosferatu, because in cinema, Nosferatu came first. So yes. I was putting him as the greater of the two. So why don't we do this? Flip it heads, tails for both.
Okay.
Heads for my Max and David, tails for your Max and David, because they are polar opposites.
Let's do it. All right. Heads you, tails me. And here we go. Oh, shit, Mickey. Let me find it. Okay. Here we go again. And we got a tails again. All right.
So then it is Dracula as Max and then Nosferatu as David. So then we find ourselves to the Frog Brothers. Two
yes,
monster hunting boys. So we need two famous monster hunters. To take their spot. My Frog Brothers, they aren't brothers, but how about, I think they would be a pretty deadly duo, and that is...
Abbott and Costello.
No, Hugh Jackman's Van Helsing, and Henry Cavill's Geralt of Rivia. I think we'd be okay.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think you'd be all set.
I'd be more set.
It's overkill.
I'd be more set than Ron on a trolley.
Jeez.
Anything from the trolley, dear. No thanks. All set.
That's good. That's a good pair. My pick, they are a set of brothers. However, unfortunately, due to circumstances in the movie, only one of them gets to kick some vampire ass. But it'd be interesting to see their dynamic in this kind of world as brothers fighting the undead vampires. And that would be Richard Gecko and Seth Gecko, the Gecko brothers from Dusk Till Dawn. From Dusk Till Dawn. Yeah. Played by Quentin Tarantino and George Clooney.
Clooney survives that, right? And Tarantino gets turned. Yeah?
Oh, he gets got pretty early. I think, is it old Selma Hayek who gives him the goods?
Oh, he's pretty. He's pretty despicable in that movie. So.
Yeah, he gets a nice foot in the mouth and then gets torn up.
Yeah, but well, flip me for it then.
All right,
Win something.
You
there
did.
There it is. There it is. All right. So picture this in your mind. Go watch Lost Boys. But as you're watching Lost Boys, imagine Michael is Edward Cullen. Imagine David is Nosferatu, not saying a goddamn word, just standing there creepily, flipping on and off the light switch. And then we got Dracula as Max, or in Halloween, or in Hocus Pocus, Dachula, because his dad says he's Count Dachula.
Yeah, that'd been good. I had Leslie Nielsen's Dracula.
Indeed. What are you doing to the furniture? But then the Frog Brothers, played by Henry Cavill's Geralt and Hugh Jackman's Van Helsing. That'd be a tag team I'd like to just – they'd just destroy every monster.
That's just a lot of beef.
I feel like Van Helsing would have an issue, though, with Geralt. They'd probably get into fights because Geralt is technically a mutant.
Mutant?
Mutants. Homo sapiens in their crossbows.
Yes, indeed.
But indeed, that is the factory we have there. So I hope you enjoyed that kind of shift on it. But indeed, before we get going, you have a question for me.
The world is a different place, but do you have any Halloween traditions that you're looking forward to this coming spooky season?
Watching the movie Halloween. Do it every year. I regret it. It's funny because I love horror movies. I really do. I don't like being scared, though. And it makes me, like, nervous. Like, I get nervous to even put on a scary movie. I do find myself still being, like, I'll wake up. Recently, we just watched Insidious. And, like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and, like, look into, like, the corner of my dark bedroom and be like, there's something there.
Something there that wasn't there before.
Yeah. No, Halloween, the movie, is a movie that I like to watch every single year, and I enjoy it. It's actually, I would say, in my top 10 greatest movies ever. So I will be watching that soon. Just did one of my Halloween traditions of watching Hocus Pocus every year. I'm going to watch, sadly, it's one of those where it's like a movie I don't necessarily like, but it is tradition to watch it, and it's Halloween Town I watch every year.
There's nothing wrong with Halloween Town.
There's some stuff wrong. I've wanted to do an episode on here of the most annoying movie characters in history, like cinema history, and the brother in those films is on my list. He's right up there with Benny from The Mummy.
He's on your shit list.
Very much so. So, but indeed, that's what I aim to do. Watch Halloween. That's the one I'm looking forward to in terms of tradition.
Gotcha. I also, my involves movies. I kind of got the big one out of the way. It's not a tradition, but maybe it should be. And that is to watch one of my favorite movies of all time, Dracula, the 1931 Bela Lugosi film. And I watched it, made some tomato basil bisque. And I have, you know, that LED light on the back of my TV, turned it red, nice and spooky, and enjoyed some Dracula. Yeah, I intend to watch as many horror movies this year as I can. I've seen so far, watched that. I watched Friday the 13th, Part 4, also with Corey Feldman, and a movie called Funny Games. It's not necessarily like straight horror, but it's definitely like intense, like this could actually happen, kind of scary.
Funny guys.
Yeah.
It's always so, horror, yeah,
more spooky
season.
More spooky to come. Hey, Haunting of Bly Manor's coming out. That's gonna take out my October.
Still gotta watch the Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
Never finished it. But that is the show. We hope you enjoyed what you heard. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out on Audioboom. That is our primary place. That's where we're going to post the episode for first, and subsequently it gets shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, wherever you find your podcast, we're there. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting links to the show, updates on what we're going to be watching that week, as well as when the episode's going to be dropping. You can also find us over on Facebook.
hey, go to Facebook, type in the Brothers Movie Factory. We'll be there, I promise. Like us, share us, follow along as I like to post memes for what we're watching each and every week, as well as links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it, but until next week, brothers.
Brothers?
Brothers.